Welcome to Small Business Insights, where back office conversations give us insight to what's really going on. Is it grit or luck that gives a small business owner an advantage? Let's find out. I'm your host, Laura Fisher. All right. Well, welcome today. I have two special guests. I have Danessa and Brent Yastruck from Sweetness Honey Apiaries and Boutique. Welcome. Say hi.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm good. So you're a married couple and y'all work together. And Danessa, tell us how you got into the beekeeping and the bee business.
Yeah. So I started getting interested in bees whenever I was a young kid. I was around 8 years old and I was catching bees in my front yard. And I was just fascinated with the bees. I would catch and release, and I got stung many times, and it just never deterred me. I just kept playing with the bees. And back then, I never knew that I would one day become a full-time beekeeper.
How do you meet other people like you, beekeepers?
Yeah. So once we got into the beekeeping industry, we started going to all the different events and beekeeping workshops and kind of that way, you know, just meeting people online, social media, following those like-minded people.
So there's a whole industry out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? And when did you start becoming a beekeeper? Did you do something before that?
Yeah. So I grew up in Houston, Texas, and I kind of started playing with the bees when I was a kid. Never thought I would become a beekeeper. And then fast forward many different jobs later, I met my husband, Brent, and we started the beekeeping business.
And Brent, so tell me about you. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, I'm Laura. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and I moved here as fast as I could. Down here to Texas is where my new home is. And I never, ever, ever in a million years thought I'd be a beekeeper.
Why'd you want to move to Texas?
Oh, just, you know, it's bigger and better, right? So, and it's warm.
To get out of the snow.
And get out of the snow, yes.
All right. And so what is your background?
My background, sales and marketing, been in the gas detection business, oil field, all my life for 25 plus years. And yeah, I still do it. I run a business here in Houston, and along with full-time beekeeping.
So what's your business here in Houston?
Company's called Scout Innovations, and we're a sensor representative for different sensor manufacturers around the world.
Okay.
And we cover North America for the main products.
So you're like a manufacturer rep?
Yeah, I'm basically a rep. So I take a little commission on all the sensors that I sell.
Okay.
And in these times with the supply chain being broken in a lot of places, I've been a valuable asset to these manufacturers to make sure that they have sensors for their products.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me that you've been able to do more beekeeping because of that. Not necessarily.
I have to.
Yes. But,
it's a kind of a fun balance. And
You do that stuff at night and then do the...
Yeah. Or so I work. I work a lot at nighttime doing all the back end office is really what it is. And then I travel May, June are kind of busy for me traveling on that side of the business. And it's busy on the beekeeping side too. Cause right now we're managing all of our bees and making sure they're ready for honey production. Honey production is probably going to start later in May, which is late this year.
Is that your honey production or the bees' honey production? Are bees always making honey?
No.
Really?
You know, we go after honey flow, which we go after is the Chinese tallow tree, which is everywhere here in Southeast Texas. Mm-hmm. And so we do that once a year, and we let the other florals later in the fall, earlier in the spring now, just let the bees have that for their own resources.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So as long as there's nectar, the bees are always making honey.
Okay.
During times, dearth times where there's just nothing blooming, the bees don't, you know, they obviously are not making honey during that time, but they should have some honey that's stored. So they're always making honey and they're making so much in abundance so that they can store it to get them through those dearth
times. Is it their food? Do they eat the honey?
Yes.
Is that?
Yep.
Okay.
All and, right. You know, we just steal it once a year. Rob it, and then...
That's all?
Yeah. And then, you know, basically, you know, much bigger beekeepers, they travel the U.S. There's a circuit, whole honeybee circuit.
To go harvest?
Bees around so that they're always in a nectar flow. So they're always working. If they're not working.
They take their bees with them?
Yep. Mm-hmm. On semi-trailers. Kind of like the California almonds.
Right.
Almost every bee box in America is in California at that time.
No way.
And they come back to Texas and they make honey here. And then they come from here and they go to North Dakota. From there, they go to Idaho potato sheds maybe for the winter. And then they repeat it.
Okay. So before we go more into the details of that, y'all been married for like 11 years?
11 years.
Y'all met here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And so when you... You said you want to be a beekeeper. Mm-hmm. What did that mean? I mean, how did y'all work through that?
Yeah, so I was working for Brent in his office. I was doing the office management, and he had an oil and gas company where he was selling some gas detection equipment. And I loved my job there, but I was just not passionate about it. And one night I was up late sitting in bed on my laptop and Brent came and was climbing into bed. And I said, you know what I really want to do? And he's like, what's that, babe? I want to be a beekeeper. And you could just hear crickets all throughout the house. He gave me the funniest look and like I had grown a third eye.
Did he know you liked bees? Were you still capturing them and playing with them?
Not really. He did not. He had no idea.
Out of left field.
Okay. So, and he was like, okay, well, that was strange, you know. But
I was hoping it was going to go away, but
yeah,
but it didn't. I just kind of, from that point on, I just kind of made it my mission. And I was collecting books. I was looking on Amazon and started following like-minded people and beekeepers on social media. And I joined all the local beekeepers associations. There's one in Houston. There's one in Fort Bend County, and I joined and started making friends with other people that were getting into the hobby, and I found a senior beekeeper there, and I forced him to become my mentor.
What's his name?
His name is Jack Richardson.
Is he still beekeeping?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him in a while. He moved, and I'm pretty sure he's got some hives somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
And so you started in your backyard?
I did. Yep. And we lived in the suburbs and I had two hives in my backyard by the end of the week.
And for at least two to three years, I swore I'd never get into a bee suit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
really?
I just really supported her on the sales side. We
it's
were
true.
Doing
so you didn't get near the bees?
Nope. No. For the first few years, Brent had nothing to do with.
She did it all.
Did you not like bees?
I didn't want to know a bee.
You didn't? No. You didn't want to get involved?
No.
But you supported her and said, okay, you can quit your job and we can start making this into something.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, kind of.
Maybe not that easy.
No. So I just supported her on the business side. We ended up starting a farmer's market in our local community there.
Okay.
And we did really well at it and kind of helped us sell honey.
Once he realized how much honey we sold and how much money we made off the honey, he was sold. He was like, oh, man.
So what are your expenses when you first start out?
So you have to buy, of course, your suit, all the beekeeping gear, including, you know, the box for the bees and all the equipment that goes inside of it. And you need your protective gear. And then, you know, as you grow bigger, you're always needing more and more
and
boxes.
And where do you get your first bees?
So you can, there are different ways of getting bees. So my first bees, personally, I caught swarms. I had swarms of bees that I was collecting out of trees, and people would call me and say, hey, there's a swarm of bees over here by my house, and I would go and collect the bees.
What's a swarm of bees? Now, I think of, I've seen bees in my house where I get somebody to come and extract them. Is that a swarm?
That is not a swarm.
Okay, what's a swarm?
So once they move into your house, that is going to be considered a cutout.
Okay.
Because they are living inside and most likely have already a nest built. And it's going to require a professional to come in, cut open the space, and remove the honeycomb.
Right.
A swarm is basically homeless bees. They are they have broken off from another colony somewhere, maybe out in the woods in a tree or something. the colony divides itself, and those bees are on the search for a new home. And they're normally just, you'll see them hanging on a tree somewhere, or they hang on anything.
Bees? And, now, I know I have wasp nests, you know, by the sea.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a swarm, though.
No, no.
So how do you spot a swarm? That must be tricky.
Yeah, yeah, it can be. It you know, it depends on how high up where they're at.
So. Yeah. So you got a couple swarms.
Really
you,
an awesome sight to see a swarm hanging in a tree.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one. What do? Just put a bucket over it and scrape them in with a lid?
Pretty much.
Is that it?
There's different ways of collecting them, too. I mean, you can go over and just gently tap the branch and knock them down into a box. And
I'm sure they're mad.
They're not too bad.
How do you get them in your box?
Whenever there is a swarm, they're homeless, so they don't have the honeycomb and the nest and everything to defend. So they're actually very docile at that time.
Huh. Okay.
So not too bad.
So you have one box with some bees in it, mm-hmm. and that's how you started.
Yep.
And your neighbors didn't mind?
My neighbors were really nice about it. I made sure I went over and talked with all of them, gave them a little honey to sweeten them up so nobody would call the HOA on me.
Do you have to do anything to that honey? Is there any processing involved when you just use it for yourself?
No. I mean, we do all of our own honey extracting, and we don't overheat or filter any of our honey. Mm-hmm. So it's basically coming straight out of the beehive.
Wow. And talk about the benefits of having local honey for allergies and stuff like that. Why do people mm-hmm. like to have local honey?
Yeah, people want the local honey because it's got trace amounts of the local pollens in their area. And it's known to help alleviate allergy symptoms. Mm-hmm. So they go and search for that local honey. That's what the bees are foraging on these pollens out here in our area. And so that pollen, trace amounts of it, ends up in the honey.
Well, I know I used to have allergies, and I would get allergy shots, and they're shooting you with mm-hmm. the thing you're mm-hmm. allergic to.
Yeah,
right.
To get that's exactly how it works. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
Now, this isn't a silver bullet, Laura.
It's not the silver bullet.
You got to take a lot of it.
Yeah, you got to keep taking it and
keep taking it. So.
Yeah, but those that are trying to be natural and
absolutely,
oh yeah,
it makes an impact.
Oh yeah, and honey's amazing. There's so many great beneficial properties in honey, and it's a anti-inflammatory, antifungal. It's just a lot of good stuff in that.
That's awesome. When I'm at the grocery store, how do I find out it's local? Because I see, well, Sue B, I think that's one big brand name mm-hmm. that I used to buy, and it had clover honey.
Yeah.
How do you know if you're buying a local honey?
Definitely you want to look at the label. And look at where it's from. You want to make sure that it's that you know that it's close to where you're at. Mm-hmm. Make sure that under ingredients, the only ingredient is honey. That
oh, really?
There's nothing added to okay. it. And
that's a clue for being local.
Oh yeah,
packed and all that stuff. Because mm-hmm. if it's processed but a big company, they're going to have some things in it.
They blend it, and it could have.
Could say products of
high fructose
Ukraine,
corn syrup.
Canada.
Yeah, there could be a lot of different okay. things added into it.
Okay. So right now we're recording this in spring, I guess, and we're April, May of 2022. Now I'm thinking there's a lot of bees going on because it's blooming. Mm-hmm. But you said they're not producing honey, or are they?
No,
they do honey because
they are.
It's their food. But why don't you just continuously harvest honey?
We do as Sweetness Honey, we do one large honey extraction a year. Mm-hmm. We get so much honey from the tallow tree in our area that we really don't have the need to go after varietal honeys all throughout the year. So we just, and plus it's a lot of work.
So when you say tallow tree, your trees are trained just, your bees are trained just to go get that? What do you mean?
No, so... Whenever the tallow tree, whenever that nectar flow hits, it's huge. And it's just, I mean, sure, our bees probably are on a little bit of clover and a little bit of other things here and there.
Right.
So there's going to be some of that as well inside the honey. But the majority of it is predominantly going to be the tallow nectar.
Yep. And there's, you know, of course, the bees aren't trained to go just to tallow, but, you know, they
like,
hit
y'all
everything.
Like, good.
And we've call, taught them that.
We call wildflower honey, you know, it's okay. kind of a mixture of everything. But, you know, the Southeast Texas here, and especially Fort Bend County, Brazoria County, are, you know, big areas of Chinese tallow trees. So there's a lot of beekeepers that come down here to leave their bees and feed on that nectar source. Mm-hmm.
So we were speaking about earlier about how big industries, they'll take their boxes and take them to a different area in the country. Are you at that place yet?
We are not.
when do you know you're growing? How big is your company, and what's next? How do you know what's next?
Yeah, last year we did send 40 of our hives to California. We hopped on, we kind of piggybacked with a commercial beekeeper. This guy has thousands of beehives, and we just wanted to send 40 just to kind of see what the process is.
Right.
And we sent 40 hives over to California to go do the pollination for almonds. So that was a really neat kind of a field trip for our bees, just to send them off and see how they do.
And that we could do it.
And that we could do it, and what the process and was to do that. But yeah, they did great. The bees came back and they looked amazing. They were huge. They had lots of resources. They were all just spilling over. We had to split the hives as soon as they got back.
So wow.
They were doing
really
good. And
they came back to their box, to their hive.
The whole box moves. We load them up on semi-trucks or semi-trailers, and they take.
So you don't lose any bees when you send them off, because they're going to always come back.
Oh, yeah.
To that box, yeah.
I mean, you might lose a couple along the way here and there, but. Yeah.
And you notice they were bigger?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they grow because they're on that nectar source of pollinating almonds in that area. You don't really want almond honey because it doesn't taste that good, but they come back and they're bigger. So there's more bees in the box when they left.
Right.
And so we have to break them down, or else they're going to fly away.
Do they multiply?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Quickly.
Okay.
On a nectar source like that, for sure.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to know more about harvesting something that's perishable, and what are the risks, and what do you have to keep in mind, and everything. So is that a good question?
Yeah, it is.
All right, good.
It's good.
All right, we'll be right back.
Today's show was brought to you by Imperial Cold Storage. Commercial walk-in refrigerated and freezer units are available for rent. Perfect for produce, beverages, flowers, perishable items, and more. Search for Imperial Storage Solutions today. Imperial Storage Solutions, keeping it cool for you.
Hey, real quick before we return with Danessa and Brent of Sweetness Honey and Boutique. If you like today's show, please take a moment just to forward it to somebody and say, hey, I think you'd like this show. All right, we're back. And I want to know about your perishable, you know, product. I always think I would never want to run a restaurant, because what if people don't show up, right? And buy the food that I have. So do you have the same problem? Is your product perishable? What kind of risk do you have?
No, so actually we don't. So honey has been found in Egyptian tombs that is still edible to this day. It's crystallized honey.
So it's hard as a rock.
It's hard as a rock, but it's still edible honey. It's not bad. It's just crystallized. And raw honey will crystallize over time. It's nature's way of preserving the good stuff that's in it.
Okay.
If you see honey in the stores that is just not crystallizing, most likely it has been superheated to where it's just cooked everything in it, or it is cut with something else. There's probably blended with some other, maybe high fructose corn syrup or something.
Okay.
That's causing it to not crystallize.
So crystallizing is absolutely normal.
It is absolutely.
So what's your hack for my listeners on how to get it smooth again?
Yeah, so the best thing you can do, number one, is don't put it in the microwave.
Okay.
Heating it in the microwave will zap all of the good enzymes that's in the local honey.
I'm guilty. Okay.
You want the local honey because it's got those local pollens. But if you're microwaving it and heating it at extreme temperatures, it's going to just kill everything. All the good bacteria, all the good enzymes that's in that honey, it's going to kill it. So, and a lot of people are guilty of that.
Right.
So the best thing to do is to heat up a pot of water and place your honey container in the water.
Okay.
Remove it from the heat, you know. and then place it in there. Heat it up like you would a baby's bottle.
Okay.
So
there's my easy hack is using a heating blanket on medium, wrap up the bottle, check it every hour, and no time that honey will be liquid again.
Yeah.
So you can harvest and have leftovers, and you can still use them again the following year. Your products stay good.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we have 55-gallon barrel drums that have crystallized the whole drum.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's ways of heating it up slowly to re-liquify
it. In the drum or just in parts?
Mm-hmm. In the drum.
You've got some equipment then that y'all have invested in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me about the different products that you can make with bees.
Yeah, so honeybees are really awesome creatures. There are so many byproducts that come out of the beehive. So not only, of course, everybody knows about honey, the liquid gold that comes out of beehives, there's also the beeswax, and that the bees create themselves. The wax comes out of a gland on the bee's body, and this is what they build their nest with. And through our honey extracting, whenever we're cutting off the wax cappings off of the frames, we end up with all this excess amount of just beeswax. And, you know, nothing goes to waste. We use everything that we're taking out of the hive. We don't take it for granted. We use it all. And the wax cappings we put into a wax spinner and spin out the honey to get all the remaining remaining bits of honey that's inside that wax. We drain it out, and we're left with all of this dry beeswax. And we can melt it down and block it up. We can either sell the beeswax. We sell it to candle makers. Hmm. And there's just so many different things you could do with the wax. We sell it to also people that do woodworking. Oh, yeah. And
other beekeepers to coat their frames.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You make cosmetics and lip balms and lotions. So there's just a lot of different things. Some people use it for art.
So you have a wholesale side
yes.
to your business mm-hmm. as well as a retail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you have a new product. Tell me about that. So I'm looking at it. It is honey sticks.
Yeah. It's the Sweetness honey stick. It's nothing new as far as the product goes. It's just how we package it, and it's ready to go in a Ziploc bag labeled with SKU. And that one there is Texas honey. And it's just an easy way to travel with it in your purse for allergies or, you know, pick me up. And
it looks like a straw.
Yep. It's a.
And do I break it, cut it? How do I open it?
Yeah, you can cut it, you know, bite it sideways, and it pops open. A teaspoon of honey comes out.
So it's. Who are the customers for this? Moms with kids?
Oh, yeah. The kids love
them. It's a kid magnet.
Mm-hmm. A kid magnet. People would put this in their
coffee,
drinks.
Teas, if they want to do that, or just eat it just right out of there. We have flavored ones. We have watermelon, strawberry, orange, root beer, chocolate.
So it's a snack or a treat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's we got those packaged in. There's 12 honey straws in there, and you know, we're just looking at launching it here in, locally in Houston area and having some good success so far. So
how much does something like this cost me when I go to the grocery store?
Yeah, it's $4.99.
$4.99. Yep. That's
and
good.
12 straws in there. And, you know, it's just a nice thing you can keep in your bag and travel with kids. You know, it's better than candy.
Yeah. That's great.
So.
Okay, so tell me. About your name. I mean, it is so adorable. It's called Sweetness Honey. Now the label says Sweetness Honey Boutique, but your legal name is Sweetness Honey Apiaries and Boutique.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you had a marketing background. So describe for me how cute this logo is.
Okay. Yeah. So the logo, I came up with the design, to start off, my name is Danessa. And all of my family and close friends have called me Ness my whole life growing up, Ness or Nessa, mostly Ness. And I used to joke with everyone and tell them, if I ever own a boat, I'm gonna name it Sweetness. And so that just kind of stuck. And whenever I started beekeeping and I got my first beeswax, I started making candles, and I told Brent, I'm going to see if I can try and sell some of these candles. So I made a little shop on Etsy, and I needed to name my shop, and I couldn't think of what should I name it. I know, I'm going to call it Sweetness.
That's adorable. It really is. Yeah. But you've got some good graphics in here that let me know what it is you're selling. So Sweetness isn't enough, but you've got Honey, and then you've got a really clever graphic.
The Dipper. Yep. So Sweetness, Honey, Boutique. I have a background in digital media design, graphic design. I'm a graphics artist. And I was kind of had this vision of having the Honey Dipper with the drop of honey. I could just see it like dripping down, and
yeah,
added a bee to it.
It's really clever. I like it. Now, you started selling your products on Etsy, but when I go on your website, I see a whole lot of products I can buy now.
Yep.
And that you are in a lot of our local grocery stores, HEBs, everywhere. And we're in the Fort Bend County area, but I see that you have them in Katy.
Yeah.
Where else are you? How do you get those gigs to, you know, to get to distribute that? Is that just knocking on the door and, hey, will you sell my local honey?
Some. And then we've also had some knock on our door. I've had people come up and tell me, hey, you need to go check over here. Or, you know, and people have been really good about passing some opportunity over to me. Like, hey, give these people a call. And we're in all three of the Painted Tree boutiques.
What are those? I've seen those.
So they are similar to like a sort of like a Nutcracker Market.
Okay.
Similar to that. But or it's
one roof and you have little boutiques.
Yes. It's separate like vendors.
Kind of like going to an antique shop.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so you have your own booth there, or you're inside one somebody's?
We are. We're inside. We have our own booth in all three locations. There's one in Katy, the one in Houston, and the one in Sugar Land. So we are in all three locations, and we've got a cute little table set up and cute booths and stuff. So it's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing it.
So how does the bee business make money? Because it sounds like you've got your bees, they're working for you, and then that those don't cost you money, but the maintaining mm-hmm. their hive and all the equipment and how you package it.
Well, the bees cost money. Mm-hmm.
They do?
Yeah. Definitely.
I thought you just went out and found them swarming somewhere.
No, everybody likes
at the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning, I'd say. You know, but, you know, we sell a nucleus hive, five-frame nuke with a mated queen for $225. So if you, Laura, want to be a beekeeper,
okay,
you could buy a nuke, some hardware, a bee suit, a smoker, a hive tool,
that's
and a
cool.
few other things. Yeah. And, you know, probably $500. To get started,
okay,
maybe 600, and then you're gonna find out like, geez, I need another boxes.
Right.
This.
How much do these boxes cost?
$25.
Okay.
And then you're gonna put it together,
and the
you're
time
paint it, and you're gonna make it look nice. So yeah, there's a lot of it's an expensive hobby if you're looking into get into beekeeping.
Right.
That's why beekeepers are always frugal, looking for other answers to pick up used equipment or slightly used.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you turned your hobby into a business. So how are you doing? You're full time now.
I'm full time.
Yep. And are y'all making money yet?
We are. We're doing,
that's awesome.
We're doing really good. The business is picking up. We're busy as ever. Every day. I mean, we're getting online orders constantly.
From where?
But it's a good thing.
Where do you put your online orders? Is it Etsy?
No. From the website.
From the website.
Yeah,
from the website. Store, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
You know, yeah. We've sold honey in North America, Mexico, Canada, all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. We get orders from almost every state of honey or...
Are they buying something in particular?
Bee product.
A little bit of everything. All kinds of the products that we have. I mean, a lot of the times it is a honey item, mm-hmm. something honey, whether it's the raw honey or creamed honey, or they're also buying honey taffy or lollipops or the honey sticks.
Just so where'd you come
things.
Up with all your recipes for that?
A lot of it is online. We look online, okay. and try
so to standard products.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's well, awesome. And then, you know, you have a cosmetic line.
We do. We recently... about a year, I guess, we started carrying the Bee Line skincare. And these are just amazing skincare products that are out of New Hampshire, a company in New Hampshire. It's a small business that we chose to support. And they've got amazing luxurious products. And they're all made with honey, propolis, and royal jelly.
So do you provide them some of your bee stuff, or you're just a reseller of
We're a reseller of theirs, yeah.
But it's all related.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool business.
You know how we just love the product. I loved it so much. I had some for myself, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this stuff is amazing.
What is it here? Like a moisturizer or
creams, moisturizers, lip balms, and just different things like that.
Okay.
So. All girly stuff.
Yeah.
You don't use any of that?
No, we haven't. We're thinking about some men stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Inspired by me, maybe. Anyways.
Well, you've got a beard. Maybe there's something. Yeah. They have so many things you could put on your beard.
And about a week ago, I shaved my bee beard. It was pretty long.
Your bee beard?
Yeah, it does definitely saves you from getting stings, for sure.
Having a beard?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't help you, does it?
It doesn't help me. No. He gets stung more than I do, though.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's the pheromones. I think it's his... the manly smell. I don't know.
Right.
But it's
She's
funny.
Much calmer than I am.
I am so much calmer. When we're in the bee yard, he's very just kind of rough
and upset.
I wouldn't say that, but maybe. He's, I don't know. He's just, I'm just in my zen place. I'm super calm. And to me, I'm like, it's a beautiful day and the bees are buzzing.
She's taking pictures and I'm all, okay, we got to go to another one.
I'll have
one.
Like
Come
one
on,
or
go.
Two bees on my suit and Brent's got like a small tornado going around his head.
Yeah, that's usually.
They know. Yeah, they know.
They know for sure.
Yeah. So what's next for y'all? You've got a big season coming up. You're going to. What I use the word harvest, but that's not the right word. What do you call it?
Basically the same thing. It's a honey. We do our extraction.
Okay.
Honey extraction. That's coming up. That's the next big thing for us.
So when you do that extraction, you probably don't know how much you're going to get. So you've got to plan for a lot, but then you've got to plan what to do with the honey. So, but long term, where do you see your company going? Your small business, how it's growing?
Yeah, well, we do have some big things in store. Some of it's still kind of hush-hush. We're not quite ready to release all the information yet, but we're growing rapidly, and we know that something needs to happen because we're just growing out of everything.
Yeah,
we're growing out of our space. We're growing out of our equipment. And so, honestly, right now, the sky's the limit.
It's tough to invest. Mm-hmm. On capital items like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's what you've got to do to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, right now we're staying focused on the quality of our honey, you know, being able to manufacture that honey with our bees, our extraction process, and, you know, then package it up ourselves.
Are your boys getting involved in the business?
A little bit. They love the bees.
That's good.
Both of them will go out and they'll pick up the bees that they find, or they tell me, Mom, I saved a bee out of the pool. So, but to really get out there and work, I mean, there are times where I don't want to bring them out there yet because it's
but
a
at
little,
least they're fascinated.
Yeah.
That's good. So it'll hopefully be a
they'll
family
get there.
Business.
They know so much about bees. My six-year-old took a PowerPoint to school and did a bee presentation. So I was super proud of.
Absolutely. Next time you see my husband, you need to ask him about how he tried to do his own bee extraction with African bees.
Really?
Oh, it did not work out.
Oh my gosh.
I knew it wasn't going to work out, but you also do those types of services. So as we close, tell us the type of services that you offer, not only the retail products, but you've got some wholesale products and you have some services, and then we'll put in the show notes how to reach you. So what are all the things you offer?
Yeah, so we offer everything. We have honey as small as 2-ounce jars up to 5-gallon buckets. And we do offer wholesale pricing on our products and also the beeswax. We have 1-ounce bars all the way up to 40-pound blocks.
Wow.
And so we'll work with people and figure out a good wholesale for them. And some of the services we do, so not only do we do beekeeping, we do mentorship, we'll help work with people, get them set up. we offer honeybee education. I will travel to the elementary schools and to Girl Scout and Boy Scout groups and sit and talk with the kids and bring in a live observation hive so they can see the bees, and we do some education that way. And also the honeybee rescue. So whenever people are getting bees, if for some reason, which this time of year we're extremely busy, if we can't get out there ourselves, I'm also the vice president, going on my fourth year now, at the Fort Bend Beekeepers Association. And I know a lot of beekeepers. I know a lot of men and women that do bee removals as a full-time gig, and I can definitely find someone to help them out if they get bees.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the name of the company again is Sweetness Honey Apiarias and Beetique. And I know we can reach you. How do we reach you? You got an adorable website. It is so cute. And I don't know. The ladies in the office here, they love how the mouse turns into a little bee. That's really clever. So tell us your website.
It's sweetnesshoney.com.
And then how do they have a phone call, a phone number where we can reach you?
Yeah, you can reach us at our toll-free number is 1-877-SWT-NES-1, so sweetness1, and or locally at 832-303-1595.
All right, so where can they find your product locally? You said at the three little stores.
Yep, the Painted Tree Boutiques.
And then some HEBs.
We're in about 25 HEBs in the southwest side of Houston.
All right.
And then also on our website, we have a retail locator. So there are a lot more retail little boutiques and different shops that you can go and find some of the products.
Right. Now, when we started our podcast, I showed you some new video equipment. I would think it would be great to see how you harvest everything and kind of document that, because...
Very cool.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, we've done some, Nessa's done some documentation of her own. It's on our YouTube channel. We have a couple of videos. Okay. It was last year and year before, kind of going crazy.
Right.
And she's done some good tutorials of through the bee yard while we're... That's extracting. Awesome. So,
well, y'all can't see how adorable they are. They're a great looking couple, and I'm so glad you stopped by. And I like hearing how people make a hobby into a business. And I see you have some growing pains, so I'm looking forward to visiting with y'all again in a couple years.
Absolutely.
And I want to hear how you've grown and how you overcame and got what you wanted.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Well, y'all have a good day, and y'all be sweet.
Yes. Thank you.
Until then, you better be up to something.
Thanks for joining us this week on Small Business Insights. Make sure you visit our website at fisherpodcast.com, where you can follow the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Or simply share it with a friend. That would help us out too. Make sure you tune in next week for our next episode. Until then, you better be up to something.